May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, and we'll read verse 11 and the first sentence of verse 12. So the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, and the first sentence in verse 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. The word of God has many encouraging words, and we should be very thankful that it is so. And this indeed surely is one of those words which is encouraging to the Church of God, because it states very clearly and very simply the blessing that emanates from our God and how the victory will be gained. And the only way that the victory will be gained, because in this life we are in a battle from the very moment we're born, not understanding it perhaps at that time, and right to the very end, the last moment that we live on this earth, we are in a battle. And the battle is with the devil. And the devil is a very strong foe. And the devil never gives up. And naturally, the devil never weakens. And he pursues us continually in one way and another. And in a battle, a natural battle, there are those situations where people perhaps have certain weaknesses, and nations may have certain weaknesses, and of course the enemy tries to make the most of that. And we know that the devil tries to find where our weaknesses are, and he's very aware very often where they are, and therefore he concentrates on them and tries to overturn us, turn us away from the things of God. He tries to make us listen to him. Well, we know that the devil has been a deceiver right from the beginning. When he came into the Garden of Eden, his great skill was to deceive Adam and Eve. My friends, he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed the way he operates. That's exactly what he still does today. He tries to deceive. And often, you see, he approaches it in this way, by casting a doubt upon the word of God, casting a doubt upon the promises of God. And as he said to Eve, hath God said, it was a question. And that's what he does still today. He poses a question, hath God said? See, sometimes then, when things don't appear to be going in a right direction, they appear to be going in a wrong direction, we are perhaps tempted to think, well, perhaps God hasn't said. Perhaps God hasn't spoken. Perhaps I misunderstood. Well, we should be very aware, and we shouldn't be oblivious to his devices. And as I've sometimes quoted to you, the case of John Warburton, who lived, of course, many years ago. And yet John Warburton was greatly blessed by God on one occasion. And he was blessed so greatly that he went into a field and he danced before the Lord. Nothing wrong in that. He was dancing before the Lord, acknowledging the Lord's goodness to him. And the devil came to him, and he whispered I did that. So John Warburton, in his simplicity, but godly simplicity, he simply said, devil, do it again. Of course, the devil wasn't able to do it again. There was the confirmation that that which he'd been rejoicing in emanated from God. So if perhaps there are those temptations for us today, and as I've said, the devil hasn't changed, he still endeavours to turn us away and to doubt the work of God, to doubt the word of God. Well, there's only one way, really, of defeating the devil. And the word here tells us how true it is. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. It's a wonderful statement. It's a great truth. And may you and I lay hold of it by God's grace. So when we are tempted, and perhaps sometimes when we are overcome, perhaps by that evil heart of unbelief, that's what really happens to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, the Lord had told her very clearly that she wasn't to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she's faced with the temptation of Satan and the attraction of the tree. What did she do? She disbelieved what God had told her she should not do. And therefore she took the fruit and sinned against God. And of course that was an exceedingly tragic occasion. We might say the most tragic moment in time, when because of that sin, that action, sin came into the world. And that sin passed upon all mankind. And the hymn writer tells us, all creation groans through thee. Isn't it true today? If there was no sin, what a different world would be found in. But because there is sin, we groan beneath it, individually, as a nation, as the world. There is that groaning under sin. So it was indeed a most terrible occasion. And it was really because of unbelief. She therefore was tempted to disbelieve the great truth that God had told her, the command that God had told her. And we have this before us in the Word of God, and it should be a bright light to us in our lives today to not to listen to the temptation of Satan. Remember, he's always on the attack. He's always alert. We need sleep. We go to sleep. We're blessed with sleep. The devil doesn't need it. He's always alert to try and attack us. And therefore, may we be so thankful tonight that we have such a great statement as this. And they, this of course is the living Church of God, and they overcame not by their own strength, not by their own skill, not by their own will, but by the blood of the Lamb, that sin atoning death of the Saviour. It is a wonderful plan of salvation that was agreed by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit back before time in eternity. And now today, because of that original sin which passed upon all mankind, so that we all are guilty before a holy God, to realize that by the grace of God, by the free, unmerited favor of God, indeed by the sovereign grace of God, we can be thankful tonight that there is this overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this sinful world with this wonderful purpose to redeem his church, to save his church, to bless his church. And the requirement for that was that he, as the only begotten Son of God, should indeed suffer and should bleed and should die upon that cross at Calvary. The words in the Hebrews are so true. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. You and I could not be forgiven, could not have our sin taken away, were it not for the wonderful gift of God in giving his life so that we might receive life. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Well, there are many instances in the Word of God about overcoming. Overcoming really is to conquer. Or overcoming is also to get the victory. Of course, that's precisely what we need as we travel on through life. We won't be able to conquer ourselves. We have no ability to. Anything that we do in our own strength will not be sufficient. Indeed, sin is mixed with all we do. As the apostle tells us, when he wrote to the Romans, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And how we have to painfully, those who are true believers, painfully learn that word to be true. Yes, but what a mercy it is that we are more than conquerors through him. And so this word overcome. And when the Apostle John was blessed with that word from God when he was on the Isle of Patmos, when he heard the instruction given to the seven churches, what gracious words they were. And again, as I've told you sometimes, those messages to the seven churches were to be read to each church, and not just the individual church to whom they were addressed, but they were also to have the other messages to the other churches read to them. And so, what a blessing it is. And again, the Lord in his love to his church gave us these words of encouragement. And we're told, just to quote some, in the second chapter and the seventh verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's a gracious word from God to us to hear what the Lord says. And as we hear what the Lord says to us, may it have a gracious impression through the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what it says. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. How do we overcome? We don't overcome because of our own strength. We don't overcome because of our own ability. We only overcome in this way through the blood of the Lamb. So what a mercy tonight, if we receive faith, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to his finished work. It was indeed a glorious work. It was a work that you and I could never have fathomed, could never have actually contemplated that the only begotten Son of God should come into this world and die in our place. He took our place. There we were. There we are. Judged. Condemned to die. And we need a deliverer. We need someone who can free us from that condemnation. And no one on this earth can do that. No one is qualified to do it. And yet tonight, we can be thankful that there is one who is qualified. And there is one who has graciously and gloriously stood in our place, and he bore the punishment instead of us. We're guilty sinners. We're hell deserving sinners. We don't deserve any mercy. The hymn writer says, mercy is welcome news indeed to those who guilty stand. And every born again child of God comes to that position where they need mercy. And indeed, that mercy comes only through this great and glorious way, the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It should be a theme that we never tire of. You may remember in the Apostles' day, he preached the same things the next day, and the people wanted him to preach the same things. They didn't want a great lot of variety. Sometimes people today want a great lot of variety. But you see, the sinner with a need desires to hear about the glory of redemption, because they don't get any better, because they sin every day, and therefore they need the cleansing power of blood. It's good news. It's the news of the gospel. And what a blessing it is, therefore, if we know the power of this blood. There is indeed power in the blood. Not our blood, power in the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And so tonight, do we rejoice in this great and wonderful truth. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he came to the end of that glorious sermon he preached in the upper room to his 11 disciples. And there was so much wonder in it and so much glory in it. And when he came to the end of that sermon in the 16th of John, and the last verse, verse 33, this is what we read. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. There's no peace, my friends, no true peace outside of Christ. Well, it's a lesson we need to learn and relearn, and blessed with the knowledge of it, to rejoice in it. That's where peace rests, in the knowledge of Christ, that in me ye might have peace. In the world in which you and I live today, ye shall have tribulation. We shall have trouble. We shall have difficulties, all because of sin. But he tells us then, be of good cheer. There's something to be thankful for. And what is that? I have overcome the world. You see, we can tell the devil as he roars around us and tries to deceive us and tries to make us listen to him We can tell him this simple truth. Christ has died. He rather is risen again. And that's what the devil hates. He hates to hear about the cross. He hates to hear about the precious blood of the Savior, because he knows he cannot overcome that. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Well, it's a mercy for us tonight to know if we are overcomers through Christ. This is what will make the name of Christ, a name which is above every name. This is what will make the Lord Jesus Christ precious to us. And Christ is precious. He is valuable to his people. It is really a test of the reality of our religion. That question, what think ye of Christ, is the test. What a test it is. And what a mercy it is if we are asked that question. If the Holy Spirit asks us that question, what think ye of Christ? And we can respond. And we can say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Tonight, where do we stand? Do we stand on that ground? Do we stand on that rock? The rock, Christ Jesus? Is our hope truly built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness? You know, when the apostle wrote to the Hebrews, and that's a glorious epistle he wrote, explaining to us some of the mysteries contained in the great and wonderful sacrifice of the Savior when he died upon Calvary's cross. But in the earlier chapter, in the second chapter, he tells us this wonderful truth. And the 14th verse, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, ye also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. See, through the death of the Savior, the devil was destroyed. I know he's still alive today, but he cannot conquer. He cannot conquer the church of God. He will do all that he can. And that's why our journey through life will be a constant battle. That's why our journey through life will be one that is never easy, because it's through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom. But there is a good prospect. There is a good end. And if indeed our hope is based upon what Christ has done, we can believe that we shall be one day with Christ, which is far better. Overcomers. When the Apostle John wrote his epistle, the second chapter, verse 13, he tells us, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Well, what a mercy if we have known our God, our Father. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. This really sets before us union with Christ. And that's really the result of the gospel, the result of God's blessing, is to bring us into union and bring us into communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will give a wonderful balance as you and I travel through life. Yes, there will be many things to try us, many things to cast us down because of the temptations that we are faced with. Well, you see this great devil, the dragon, as it's referred to here in the ninth verse, this is what we read together. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Not just one or two, the whole world. Everyone is deceived. Yes, but he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Of course, in the account we read of that battle between the devil and his angels and the angels in heaven. But you see, he was defeated. He is defeated now because of the great and glorious victory the Lord Jesus Christ gained. And we should not ever underestimate the cost of that victory and the battle that that victory was, because Jesus Christ came into this world as God and man, but he took on our flesh, our nature, and he suffered in this world as a man, so that you and I can appreciate a little, only a little, of the cost of our salvation and what he had to suffer. What he had to suffer. We just get glimpses of it, don't we? We're not told anything really about his life before he was 30. Just the odd occasion when he was found by his mother before the elders in the temple. But then we find from that time when he was revealed as the Son of God indeed, when John the Baptist was able to declare, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And when John the Baptist baptized the Lord of life and glory, the Son of God, there was that voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And as we know, from that time indeed, there were those continuous temptations, were those 40 days and 40 nights when he was tempted of the devil. Yes, but you see, the Lord did not give way. Temptations were great. The opposition was great. But he was able to tell the devil and answer the devil from the word of God. What a mercy, therefore, today, if you and I are able to answer the devil through the word of God, because that really is what is spoken of in this next clause. We read, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." The testimony of God, the word of God. What a mercy it is today. If we are equipped with this wonderful blessing, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, we shall indeed be able to resist the devil, as we can quote to him the word of God. The devil sometimes quotes the word of God, but he always quotes it inaccurately. He quotes it in accordance with his plan. But if we quote to the devil the word of God, what a testimony that is. And how that is strengthening to us as we journey on, to realize that we're quoting God's word. not man's word, God's word. And we can tell the devil it's God's word that we're quoting. And may that be an encouragement to us as we ponder these words. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is good. And indeed, as David tells us, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is perfect, and everything is perfect. And may we therefore tonight be truly thankful that we do have this word, the word of their testimony, and to thank God for the word of the Saviour, and to thank God for the life of the Saviour, because he did not fail, he did not fall, and when we perhaps think of that which he had to endure as he came to the end of his life, he had to endure much, especially during those 3 years when he was revealed as the Son of God. And then he had to be tempted again of the devil. There he was, having been given that wonderful sermon to his disciples. He then went out into Gethsemane. And there we see he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, being in an agony. And his prayer was, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Well, it wasn't possible that the Lord Jesus Christ should not suffer. That was the divine plan of God. And how humbling and how glorious it should be for us to meditate, therefore, upon the cost of our salvation. The cost was so great to think that God himself suffered in this way. Jesus was God, the second person in the Trinity. There's no doubt about it. Some people disbelieve it. But my friends, the word of God is true. He was indeed, and he is, the second person in the Trinity. And therefore, he suffered. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. A total and humble submission to the will of his Father. And so you see then, he was taken captive as though he were a criminal. He was no criminal. We were criminals. We are by nature criminals. And yet the Lord was taken captive instead of us. And he was brought into the judgment hall. And there he was mocked and beaten. Oh, my friends, what he suffered there. Humiliated. And yet the Son of God, the suffering Saviour, he overcame. We overcome through the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean to you and me? Have we got any appreciation, therefore, of the great cost of our salvation? The great price that was to be paid to remove our sin, every sin, the whole load of our sin has to be removed. Price had to be paid. And that price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace today, we overcome him. We overcome the devil through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course then, he was condemned to that most excruciating, that most painful death, which you and I deserve. We deserve the most painful death, the most excruciating death, because of our sin, sinning against the word of God, sinning against his commands. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ went willingly to Calvary, so weak because of all he had to endure, not strength to carry the cross. And then you see, there he was in that position of crucifixion. Although so weak and under so much agony, yet you see, we see the wonderful love to that dying thief, who by the grace of God was able to confess, we indeed justly, because we receive the new deserts of our sin, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise, was the blessed and glorious answer. And so then, what occurred? His father, our father, hid his face from him. He was left. He was alone to endure those agonizing 3 hours. But he did not fail. He completed, therefore, that great work, the greatest work that anybody could be given, was given to the Savior, the only begotten Son of God. And he fulfilled all that was required of the holy law of God on our behalf. Indeed, he bore the punishment instead. So they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Tonight I pray and hope, therefore, the blood of Christ may mean something to us. It's not just a mere statement. It's a living reality. It's something which is really precious. As the Apostle Peter so beautifully said, yes, he said, it's through the precious blood we're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. How valuable to us tonight is Christ's blood. It's so valuable because it gives us the passport to glory. Without the evidence of that blood was shed for us, we have no passport into heaven. We don't possess the certificate that tells us that we are washed, that we're forgiven, that we're cleansed. What a mercy, therefore, tonight, if by the grace of God we have the evidence of this great blessing by the word of their testimony. The word of God which we have to encourage us. The word of God which we can use as a sword against our great adversary, the devil. And it goes on just very briefly. And they loved not their lives unto death. Well, are we willing to give our life? Are we willing to sacrifice our life? There have been many in the past, those who've given their life, especially in the age of the Puritans. There were many, many who were not prepared to be deceived by the devil. The temptations were very great. The cost was very high. The cost was their life. But yet, you see, they did not give in. By the grace of God, they stood firm, and some indeed went to the cross, went to the stake, rather, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his sake. Some of them had a glorious entry into glory. The Lord did not leave them. He did not forsake them. And so they loved not their lives unto death. They loved the Saviour more. They loved his great and glorious work. They loved his wonderful promises. And they looked forward to that inheritance which was and is incorruptible and undefiled. And so therefore tonight, may we indeed come and bless God for his wonderful favour and wonderful blessing. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, he spoke of the wonderful knowledge of knowing the Saviour. And in the first chapter, 27th verse, he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so tonight, may we have the evidence that Christ is in us, indeed, the hope of glory. What a blessing that is. What a favour it is. And may we tonight rejoice. We just read this, that first verse in the 12th chapter. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Indeed, the heavenly hosts do rejoice. And may we therefore be amongst those who join with that heavenly host and rejoice tonight for this great and wonderful truth. Remember, this is the word of God. This is the promise of God. This is the faithful word of God. And you and I tonight, notwithstanding all our failures and all our sinfulness and all our shortcomings, can rely upon what God has done. Our hope is not in ourselves. It's in the finished work of the Saviour. And so we read, and they overcame him, the devil, a vanquished foe, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen.